Yes, very good. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for that wonderful offering. We give that to the Lord, and I receive some of it too because I love your love. Okay. If you weren't here, I do encourage you to get a copy of the CDs. We've been releasing a message. It's not just for those who were able to come, but it's also for you who were unable to come. God is doing good things. And the prophetic phrase that I really sense for you as a church is that new things are to be seen in 2014. And so we've been talking about, behold, I make all things new, is kind of the general theme of what I've been sensing for the church, for the body of Christ this year. And for you as a church, I've given that specific phrase, new things to be seen in 2014. And as we've released some prophetic words to you as a church, we've released some prophetic words to the body of Christ that also apply to you. We've seen Jesus touch some individuals here with some prophetic words of life. And those things are going to have an impact. And last night, I began to address seven attributes of the community of Christ, or seven actions that reveal all things are new. And we've called this the community of Christ. To move forward in 2014, we're going to have to be the community of Christ. And so I spent time last night talking about three of those, and this morning I'm going to address the other four. But the first three are quite simple. If we're going to see new things in 2014, the first thing we're going to have to do is move into the neighborhood. The church moves into the neighborhood. We're not here pulling people out of the neighborhood to create a church. We're here to be the salt, to be the light, to infiltrate the neighborhood with the life of the church. This is a building we gather in this morning, but this isn't the church. You're the church. And when you leave the doors here today, you're still the church. You're still those who are connected to God in relationship with Him and one another, bringing life to this world. And so 2014 is a time where we're really going to move into the neighborhood. And prophetically, I declare to this house that you're going to increase in your influence to the city. You're going to increase in your influence to the youth. You're going to increase in your influence to discipling others. And you're going to increase in your influence to reconnecting and connecting people to the place of life and grace. We started out the other night by reading Isaiah 11, which describes a room filled with lions and wolves and sheep and bears and goats and what would formerly be enemies all in the room together. And then it says that this is what will happen when this happens, that the people who don't know God will be drawn to know God. So in other words, it's not about heaven and the hereafter. It's about what happens when heaven gets into a community. So if you're a sheep, expect a wolf to show up. Now, I'm not talking about a wolf is coming to eat you. I'm talking about a wolf who no longer eats meat. I know what I'm talking about. I'm the wolf who married the sheep. And we've been together for 37 years this year, and we've produced some wonderful sheep babies. And some sheep grandbabies. Because you see, the diet of the wolf changed. I'm no longer a meat eater. I'm a grazer of the things that God gives. Yeah? And so, don't hold on to your enemies so long that you forget they're no longer your enemies. Let God transform people in your life to become friends. Expect this room, expect the rooms of the house to be filled with what formerly didn't come together. Expect the gathering of your families to be gathering of families. Lay down your differences and embrace the unity that comes through the Spirit of Christ. Amen? This is what God is doing in the earth. He's not saying get out of the world. He's saying get into the world and transform it by the power of God's grace. So move into the neighborhood. We also said that to move forward in 2014, you're going to have to be the light. Now, light doesn't expose darkness. It transforms it. Now, how do you know you're in the light? The fruit of the Spirit is in the light. If it's love and joy and peace and patience, and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, that's the fruit of the Spirit. If that fruit isn't there, then something about it is not light. So make sure you find yourself in the place where the fruit is. You can't do fruit. You can't do a banana. If you're a banana tree, bananas come off of you. You can't do apples. Trees that are apple trees just produce apples. You know, even if you're a nut, a pecan tree can't do pecans. It just happens. So if you're the body of Christ, then the fruit of the Spirit is present. Now, be that in the community. It's not your job to expose sin. Stop it. It's your job to be the light. That transforms what was formerly sin to righteousness. It causes what was disconnected to be connected. So that's good. Let's be the light. We then finally, last night, we said the third thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have gates of pearl. Now, pearls are formed in the soft, fleshy area of an oyster. When something gets lodged in that soft area, a piece of flesh or a piece of sand, a grit of a rock, some offensive thing enters into the soft area of the oyster. What the oyster does, the oyster secretes a couple of things from inside of itself, and it transforms that wounded, abrasive thing to become a beautiful pearl. Understand that the things that you've walked through in life were not meant to create offenses or wounds, bitter roots. They were meant to be areas in the soft part of your life that demand you to release the life of Christ that's within you and see the love of the Father formed. So you're going to have to be the community that has gates of pearl. In other words, an invitation that says, you know, I don't care where you come from, what you're going through. It doesn't even matter if you were formerly my enemy. What the enemy intended for evil, God turned for good. And the wounds of your past are only seen today in the testimony of the Father's love. How did God work that out in you? So be open with your testimonies. Now, the fourth thing this morning, we didn't talk about yet. If we looked at Revelation chapter 21, when it talks about that heavenly community that comes out of heaven into the earth, I believe that's an increasing reality, not something for the future, something that's presently happening. Something's coming down. Hey, something's coming on down. Something of heaven's coming down here. You need to get that attitude in your family. Something heavenly's coming down. Something that didn't exist before is happening. And in that reality of what's coming from heaven into your life, it says the city of God has streets of gold. Now, what are the streets of gold? I was in, streets of gold is where faithfulness happens. Streets are a destiny. I was in Spain training some young people. I'll be there again in a couple of weeks. After I get back from Africa, I'm home for about 5 days, and then I go back to Spain, and from there I go to England, and then I'm back for less than a week, and I go from there. I go, where do I go? I go here, I think, and then I come down to Alabama, and I go here and there. But when I was in Spain training some young people, I was just saying, you know, you got to learn to live from your heart. And I looked at this one lady, one young gal in the group. I said, you got to live from your heart, and you got to be taught and stable, because you got to know how God speaks, and you got to be stable in your relationships, or you'll twist what God says to your own destruction. So I looked at her. I said, what are you going to do if I say, I see a rainbow over your life, and there's a yellow streak underneath your feet? I said, what is that? Is that the gay rainbow? Is God saying that you're gay? Is that the yellow brick road of the Wizard of Oz? What's God saying to you? And then I said to her, you know what? It's not the gay rainbow that's over your life. It doesn't have six colors like the gay rainbow. It's got seven colors. And the color that's missing in the gay rainbow is the color indigo, which is the color community. But you have that color of community in your life, and you're going to reach many people who have been disconnected from the community of God, and you're going to bring them into the community of God. And that golden street beneath your feet is a testimony testimony to your faithfulness, and you're going to take people who haven't been able to be faithful and bring them into the place where faith happens, and they're going to be full of that faith and walk on the journey and the destiny of Christ. She just loses it. You see, she was in the lesbian lifestyle for about 7 years. And she has a wonderful testimony. Her wonderful testimony is she's been called by God to reach people who are in those situations, to tell them, come on, there's life. And you think that you're having community, but God has the community that you've been looking for. Now, that was just a foolish little illustration of, hey, God can talk like this, but look, God was talking. So we need to be a people with a streets of pure gold. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 says this, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Man, we don't understand that phrase because we live in a soft world. Maybe if I read that in Pakistan to believers there, or in Iraq to believers there, or in some places of Africa, Northern Uganda, maybe if I read that to them, they would understand it. To the people at this time, their grievous trials were family members being killed for their faith. It wasn't just, how am I going to come up with the rent? Or, well, you know, Uncle so-and-so treated me bad. Or, Pastor didn't look at me today. If he really loved me, he would have looked in my direction. What a trial you have in life. No, it says you go through trials, so any trial that we go through, I'm sure it isn't anything compared to the trials these guys went through. But the trials that we go through are so that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, faithfulness. The genuineness of your faith. That's a golden street. We need to be genuine in our faith. You know? So if anybody says, well, I don't go to church. If somebody says to you, I don't go to church because it's full of hypocrites. It's full of hypocrites in church because there are people there who don't believe. Then you just say to them, you know, I don't go to the bar because it's full of hypocrites. Just full of hypocrites. They act one way, but then they get drunk, they start speaking a different way. There's a bunch of hypocrites at the bar. I don't go to work anymore, I don't have a job, because they're a bunch of hypocrites. They don't like it, but they don't dare say anything because they know if they say something, they'll lose their paycheck. Bunch of hypocrites at work, so I don't work anymore. I don't even get up in the morning because the whole world's full of hypocrites. It's not even worth having breakfast. Just say to them, you're right, the church is full of hypocrites, but you know, you ought to come. You know, we're just a bunch of hypocrites who are being transformed into becoming faithful. So how do you get faithful? Well, you don't do faithfulness. If you've been doing faithfulness, stop it. That's hard. That sucks. What you should do is get to the place, get close enough to the place where faith happens. How does faith come? It comes by hearing what God says. So get intimate with God and stay under the spout where the glory pours out. You know, stay in the place where faith happens. And pretty soon you'll be faithful. Faithful people are people who stay in the place of faith. It can even be practical. My wife and I have been married for 37 years, and we've been faithful to one another. How have we remained faithful to one another? We've never gone to the place where we disconnect from one another. Now, we could. People do that. Now, people don't get up in the morning and say, title of page, how to disconnect from my loved one. Or how to grow cold in my relationship. Number one, when I sense resistance, walk away. Number two, when the meal that I want wasn't cooked, go to the restaurant. Number three, when I'm not understood, go pet the dog. Number four, when I don't get my way, go hunting. Number five, the list kind of ends up being stuff like that, but the title of it is How to Have a Great Life. No one's trying to be stupid on purpose. Stupidity happens by accident. You don't realize it's stupid until you turn around and you look at the title after you've been down in the pit. So the secret is never walk away from the original source. My wife and I, we have a covenant of we always live in the place of our first love. Now, our first love looked like this. God got this, he has this heavenly gas. It's like the kind you get when you go to the dental office. You sniff it and it just makes you goofy. And it's almost like he even injects you with it, and your head goes stupid and your heart goes really big. What he does is you fall in love. And even guys, even masculine men, they get funny, they get goofy. And they do funny things that never do around the guys. Oh, yes, dear. Yeah, right. Yeah. But what happens is, you see, you fall in love. Now, it's a God thing because he knows you're about to go through the biggest surgery of your entire life. What happens is two people are going to become one, which is a huge operation. So to get you into the room where that happens, God gives you goofy gas so that your head goes stupid and your heart goes big. Now, the secret is you got there. What the goofy gas came and you said, "Here I am, honey." Whether you were a guy, "Here I am, babe," or "Here I am, dear." You said that because your mind went small and your heart went big. But then you enter into this thing called life together. And now when you entered into it, you had faith. Faith is doing works that you've never done before. Something in your heart. It's kind of like your relationship with God, your relationship with your spouse. You entered into it, and so you were full of faith. You were like, spilling over. So you entered into the relationship, and then life started happening, and you know, and their connections started trying to come together. You know, if I were to tell you, when you're looking for a spouse, you're not looking to be the same in your likes, but you need to be the same in your values. If I wasn't the same in the value, my wife and I, we weren't the same in our value, in our focus, in our purpose, we'd be in trouble. Why? She likes black and white films. I don't. I like to hunt. She won't even eat what I shoot. So we would be in trouble because of our differences if it wasn't for the same spirit. Differences are no problem if you have the same spirit. Actually, differences magnify who you are. She's the half of the brain I don't have. I'm the half of the brain she doesn't have. So in reality, she loves to hunt and I love to shop. I just let her half do the shopping and she lets my half do the hunting. And by that, we influence more people. But the secret is to stay in your first love. Your first love was when you had that goofy gas and you said, "Here I am. I give my life to you." Okay? Now, you can't stay in your first experience. Because if you try to stay in your first experience, you force a second experience to be first. And after you've done that about 50 or 100 times, your experience gets old. And you're really good at doing what you want to do, and you suck at doing what you're told. And things that are old only last because you're told. and you begin to have a stupid confession. Honey, why don't you do this anymore? Well, the answer to that is because it isn't anymore. So my wife and I made a covenant, and our covenant was this. The day we got married, which was wonderful, was the worst day of our marriage. Yeah, it gets better. Some days are hard, and isn't that so awesome? Some days hurt. Oh, it's so wonderful. If it hurts, it means you're alive. If it doesn't hurt, you're a rock. Only dead things don't feel life. Come on. If it hurts, that's okay. Work through the pain. So always stay in the place of, here I am, babe. Here I am. In your relationship with God, don't return to your first experience. Always stay in your first love. You can't repeat a first experience. It's a second, third, fourth, fifth, 1,006th. But if you stay in the place of here I am, you got all kinds of firsts. If you're 80, you still got a bunch of firsts ahead of you. If you're 20, you got tons of firsts ahead of you. So stay in the place of your first love. We're going to have to be the community of God that moves into the neighborhood. We're going to be the light. We're going to be the testimonies of God's Father's love. But we're going to have to realize that it's a journey and our streets are gold. We stand in the faithfulness of God. We simply keep in the place where faith happens. Yeah? Okay, another thing we're going to have to do is we're going to have to wear the reflections of the Father's heart. Okay? Now, in the community of God, in Revelation 21, when it describes the community, it says the gates are pearl, but then it says the foundations of the community are precious stones. You know how you get precious stones? Precious stones come out of stones that aren't so precious. If you take coal, which is not so precious, and you put it under pressure and heat, you can transform it into diamonds, and diamonds are considered precious stones. Matter of fact, I live in a city where they're trying to do some coal refining or coal processing, which I think would be great. It would add some jobs, but that's my personal opinion. And it's being resisted by a lot of people in the community because they don't want trains going through the community with coal dust in them. Okay? All right. So in other words, they're saying the cargo that is in the trains is not precious enough for them to say we want it in our city. But I bet you if you put diamonds in those same coal trains, I bet you if you filled them with diamonds, no one would be arguing about them going through the city. Because they consider those precious stones. Now, I get it. I get why the one is not, and I get why the other one is. But the deal with precious stones is they don't become precious unless they go through the process that makes them precious. Now, in the foundation of who we are, there are precious stones. The question often asked by people is, are we going to go through a great tribulation? And my answer to that one is, ask your mama. You were birthed in tribulation. The church came out of a great tribulation in the first century. There was great pain in the birthing of the church. Ask your mama. She endured the pain for the joy that was set before her, and she rejoiced to see a baby born called the church. So go ask them in Indonesia, are we going to go through a great tribulation? They're going to tell you, well, we've been in great tribulation for about the last 50 years. It's a stupid question. It's dumb. You know what? The church came through a great tribulation in the first century, which gives me a testimony. The church always comes through every tribulation. So it's just an irrelevant question. Are you going to come through? Well, of course you're going to come through. Whatever you need to come through, you're going to come through. Good days and bad days. But in the foundation of the church, what could have been just common people went through great pressure to become a testimony of precious stones. It says in Revelation, the stones that are in the foundation are the stones. It describes several stones. Now, it's hard to tell what tribes are what stones because there's not a good record of that. You know, there were 12 tribes of Israel that were symbolized in precious stones. And it's hard to tell which is which because they didn't keep a good record. There's about 30 different opinions about what is what. Some of them have common opinions. Some of them have diverse opinions. But the bottom line is all the stones reflect really good things. Now, as I've read the stones that are in Revelation, I've done kind of I've done a lot of research and focus of what those stones might mean. I'm just going to read a statement to you that takes the stones that are in the community in the New Jerusalem, those who have a vision of peace that comes down into their lives. The foundation of that community has precious stones that were represented in what was said in the church, the prophets and the apostles. And when you take the names of those tribes and you translate them into the English language, and you can translate them into Spanish, and you'll come up with similar things, and the foundation of the community looks something like this. It looks something like that has wrestled to wrestle no more, hears God and responds, knows his forgiveness and the past is forgotten, is seen as a son, is fortunate and happy, has become a testimony of praise, dwells with God, is joined to others in God, is rewarded by God by seeing what God sees, is one with God, is fruitful in God, and is a testimony of his inheritance through his hand of resurrection life. So if I take the stones that are described there and I decipher what tribes do they connect with, and I translate the names of those tribes into English, it sounds like that. You know, I think that's a pretty good foundation for a house. But the community doesn't just have foundations that look like that. Its walls look like that. So how do you get there? Look with me at Romans chapter 5. New things are going to be seen in 2014, we got to be the community that looks like precious stones. Looks like the community that has wrestled but wrestles no more. Looks like the community that hears God. Looks like the community that, you know, that has the attributes of relationship with God. How do you get there? Romans 5 verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you've been justified by faith to have peace with God. Isn't that cool? You heard him and that was it. Faith happened. That justified you to have peace with God. No gap between you and God. Yeah, but I've done a lot of things. Well, it doesn't matter what you've done. The moment you hear him, you're justified by faith. There's no gap between you and God. If you were here today and you've been living in places that just haven't been bringing you life, and you've been hurting people and hurting yourself, and you don't even know God's real, I got great news for you. Listen up. Just listen closely. He loves you. Now hear that in your heart, and look it, now you're justified. There's no gap between you and God. But then it doesn't stop there. It says, verse 2, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We stand in grace and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What's the hope of glory in your life? If glory is being fully alive, which I think is a good definition of glory, what's the hope of you being fully alive? Christ in you is the hope of being fully alive. Yeah. Not what you've done. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of becoming fully alive. The hope of changing is Christ in you is the hope of glory. So God knows Christ in you is the hope of glory. So he says, come on and stand in grace where the Christ in you manifests. So by faith we enter into grace and we stand, we rejoice in the hope of glory. Not only that, we glory in tribulations, pressure, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. In the Greek, that word for perseverance always means this: cheerful endurance. It never means suck persimmons, be miserable, and hold on. The Greek word means when you find yourself in a pressure spot, cheerfully endure. And when you cheerfully endure in the pressure spot, it brings forth Character. What character? Not you, the old character. No, Christ in you character. Having wrestled, wrestling no more. The character, here's God. The character is joined to God and joined to people. The character is inheritance. The character is faithful. So it happens in the midst of the pressure spot. What was formerly coal is being changed to a diamond. The Christ in you is coming out. Come on now. Pressure's your friend. It reveals who you are. It doesn't make you who you are. You see, the diamond doesn't come just because of the pressure. The diamond, the molecules that produce it were already in the DNA of what was there. But what was there didn't manifest for its full potential until what was there went through the pressure. You know, almost all precious jewels and gems are produced deep in the earth, and then they're spit out of what's deep and they're found on the surface. You know, all the glory of God is deep inside of you, but it's never seen until it's spit out and found on the surface. And then people go around and they rejoice in what they can pick up. But what they pick up didn't get produced in the place that you could pick it up. It got produced deep down in your place of relationship with God. So that character then brings forth hope. And what's hope? Christ in you is the hope of glory, being fully alive. So if we're going to see new things in 2014, we got to move into the neighborhood. We got to be the light. We got to let the testimonies of the Father's love be revealed, be open with our testimonies. We got to stand in the place where faith happens and reveal to people that life's a journey. Life's a street. And every day is a good day because of the faith that comes by hearing Him. So being faithful is not being just trying to do it. It's staying in the place of relationship. And then we got to stand in the place where the pressures of life don't take us out. They just manifest what's in us. Christ in us is the hope of glory. And then we wear the reflections of the Father because we know how to endure pressure that opposes the character that's inside of us. Pressure opposes the character that's inside of us. But the character that's inside of us is the character of Christ, which is stronger than every pressure. And so the pressure just makes manifest the real deal. Yeah? Then, the sixth thing we're going to have to do to see new things in 2014, we're going to have to see the river of life flowing from our heart. In Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5, it says, there's a river clear as crystal that comes out from the throne of God. And as it flows out from the throne of God is everywhere in this room. You said, Jesus. Jesus. Some of you just said that. Jesus. And that was enough. I know people who said less than that. I know a guy who said, oh, something. Starts with S. And God heard that and entered his heart right there. Oh, that was enough. Because it didn't mean, oh, it meant, what's this? You see, God's not offended with our words. He's delighted with our hearts. I've told you before, I had a lady come into my church off the street, seeing people loving God and dancing and rejoicing, and she went and grabbed the microphone, tears streaming in her face, and she said, what is this? I've never seen a church like this. This is awesome. And she's bawling her eyes out. That's how Jesus came into her life. What is this? Some people would be offended with those words, but God didn't hear what he heard her heart. And he said, babe, you were born for this. Come on. So out of our In their beings flows rivers of life-giving water. And in Revelation, it says that water flows through a tree of life. If you look straight forward, it goes through the tree of life. You go to the right, it goes through the tree of life. You go to the left, it goes through the tree of life. And then when it passes through the tree of life, it says there's trees along the banks of the river. Those are the generations of people. Those are your children, your children's children. That's the outworking of your life because of what's flowing out of inside of you. And it says the leaves of those trees are for the healing of the nations. Meaning it's a reality right now because the nations are sick. And the fruit is to feed the nations. That's a reality right now. Why? The nations are hungry. And it says there's no curse there. Not in the nations. In the river, in the place where it flows out. So to be the community of God, to see new things seen in 2014, we got to let the river flow. We got to quit judging things of you're right, you're wrong, this is right, this is wrong. Get rid of that, that's wrong. We don't want that, they're wrong. You got to quit thinking that way. You got to let something flow out of your heart that passes through the tree of life. And when people treat you wrong, you still give life. When people misunderstand you, you still give life. When they lie about you, you still give life. When they hurt you, you still give life. So that what comes out from your life produces generations that heal sick places and feed hungry people. Yeah? The final thing, the seventh thing you're going to be the community of Christ for new things to be seen in 2014. The body of Christ has tattoos. And the tattoos on her body testify to where she's been. But she's come through. Jesus, the body of Jesus has piercings and tattoos. And Jesus didn't go down to the tattoo parlor to be important getting his tattoos. No, he got tattooed for the sake of the world behind him. One of his spiritual sons named Thomas doubted him. And Jesus said, come here, put your fingers in my side. Put your fingers in the holes. You see, the tattoos, the marks on the body of Christ were for the sake of those who are yet to believe. I got good news for you. 2014 follows 2013, which followed 2012 and 2011 and 2010. And if you've been around a while, it's followed several decades. I got really good news for you. You've come through. Would you please not be ashamed of the tattoos that are on the body of Christ? Would you recognize that the marks that are on your body were for the sake of those that are yet to believe? Would you quit wearing long sleeves and high collars to cover up the marks that have been put upon your body? Would you just be honest and let people see what you've come through? Oh, don't use it as a trophy prize to say, look at my tattoo. Because I got news for you. The older you get, the more your tattoos change. Even your tattoos get bureau disease. Bureau disease is where your chest drops into your drawers. And what used to look like a wonderful princess on your body looks more like something from the dairy herd down the road.
but you have tattoos on your body. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. He says, from now on, I let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he responds in the next verse by saying, brethren, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. In Philippians 1:20, Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. What marks are on the body of Christ? See, the tattoos on your body, the tattoos on this church, are marks that testify that this church lives for the life of others. Don't be ashamed of your tattoos. Oh, that's that church. Oh, I remember. Well, that happened there. Yeah, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that that happened there? And look, there she is. Isn't she beautiful? You see, the tattoos that Jesus bore on his body were the sins of others. The marks that Paul bore on his body were his suffering for the sake of others. To see new things in 2014, we got to bear the marks openly. Not showing off, but not being ashamed of the marks that we bear for the sake of others. So in summary, move into the neighborhood, would you? In 2014, find places of connection to the world, not from the world. Don't be of the world, but be in the world. Find places to connect to your city. Be the light, shine. Don't be afraid of the darkness. Move forward. Be open with your testimonies. Your testimonies are testimonies of the Father's love. Be faithful. Abide in the place where faith happens. Stay close to the place where you hear. Don't be disconnected in your relationships. And don't be untaught in what God is like as a person. Because if you are, you'll twist what God says to your own destruction. Just stay close and let faith happen. Manifest Christ's character. Recognize that the pressures are manifesting Christ in you, the hope of being fully alive. Give life to others. Let the river flow out of you. Live for your favorite place more than you live for your favorite place. Your favorite place is the place that causes life to happen in the lives of others. Your favorite place is what you like. God loves your favorite place, but trust me, if you'll live for your favorite place, He'll bless your favorite place. And give your life for the sake of others. See your life is making a difference for others. See your life is making a difference for others. Don't be ashamed of your tattoos, the marks that are on your body, the marks that are on this body. See this church is making a difference for the sake of others. And when you move forward, don't grab the old things and call them new. Listen for what you haven't heard. Look to see what you haven't seen. Dare to think what you've never thought before. Because it's time to move forward in 2014. I'm going to read this prophecy that I released the first night again. I wrote it down because I felt it was very important. I feel it's a prophecy for the body of Christ. I feel it's a prophecy for you. I declared it over you in the first night, those of you who were here. After I've shared what I shared, I'm declaring this prophecy again. And I want you to listen in your spirit because this is what this season is about. New things will be seen in 2014. The Spirit of the Father says, the testimony of my family will increase in 2014. What would not come together will come together in this new season. It's not a time to move away from the world, but to move toward the hearts of people. The church will move into the neighborhoods of the world in this new time of family life, and they will be the salt. They will be the light. They will be the life. Their light will shine in the darkness, not to expose darkness, but to be the light that others can follow. Answers will be given not merely for the footsteps of individual courses, but answers will be given that give direction to those who have been swallowed up in the night. This is not a time to be afraid of the darkness, but a time to move forward as the light. It's time to be open with your testimonies. What the enemy intended for evil has become an opportunity to reveal my love as your Father. The woundings of your past will become the garlands of love that bring great value to the ears, the necks, and the purpose of hands of those bound to death and despair. My love will prove to be stronger than the strongholds of the mind, the hardness of the heart, and the immobility of joint connections. There'll be a new hearing, a new believing, and a new freedom of purpose in the lives of many. It is a time to abide in the place where faith happens. This will cause there to be a new measure of faithfulness in the church that reveals a path of destiny that others can follow. Like the yellow brick road of the land of Oz, it will be the path that restores courage, unveils the thinking, reveals the heart, and sees my promises come true. In this season, Christ's character will be more important than Christ's promise. Love will cover a multitude of sins, and lives will be changed by the power of my grace. It is time to live for your favored place, not merely your favorite place in life. You will give life to others, and in giving life, you will find life in a measure you've never known before. It's time to see your life as making a difference for others. In this, you will give your life for the sake of others. As you move forward into the new, don't yield to the temptation of trying to make an old sound new, an old vision fresh, or an old thought a way of thinking. Listen for what you haven't heard before. Look to see what you haven't seen before. Dare to think what you haven't thought before, and I will give you a grace that you've only longed to know. Surely I will make things new. Truly I will wipe away the tears. I will bring another measure of my glory in this time. No more delay. Listen to what I say. Things are coming together for your coming together, so that the things I bring together will be brought together, and you will say, life is good. Now, I believe that to be a prophetic word. Let's give him honor. I believe that's a prophetic word for you. I believe that's a prophetic word for the body of Christ. Let's listen to that word. That word will move us forward. That word will move us into seeing new things to be seen in 2014. It's true for your family. It's true for your life. It's a new day. And God is good. If you haven't heard it today, if you haven't heard this in the Spirit, listen. God says, and I say, I'm really glad you were born. If you haven't heard it yet today, God says, and I say, shame off of you. Shame off of you. If you haven't heard it yet today, God says, and I say, you are beautiful. You're awesome. Wow. Isn't she beautiful? I shared with you last night about a good friend of mine. His wife passed away, was missing for 88 days. She got in a moment where she was weak. She lost hope. Her error was she loved so much, she didn't realize that her love was having an effect. And she got confused in her mind. She took her life. You know, the church has been like that. But my friend, not just my friend who lost his wife, but my friend, his wife, we had a memorial service for her. Over 1,000 people showed up, 1,500 people online watched. The public community, the police, the media were astounded at how the body of Christ responded in the search to find her. She was missing 88 days. My friend, who believes numbers are very important, says, "What does 88 mean?" And I said to my friend, "Henry, if 8 is a new beginning, I believe it's a new beginning for Erica, and it's a new beginning for you." And at the memorial service for my friend, Erica, my friend Henry said some profound prophetic words. He got up and he held up a picture of his wife and he said, "Isn't she beautiful?" And I want to say, that's the body of Christ this morning. I want to say to you today, maybe you had a confused moment and you forgot who you were. But God has written up this church well. God has written up your life well. God has written up your family well. And He wants you to hear what my friend Henry said. He wants you to hear that today about the body of Christ here, this church. He wants you to hear about your family and your life. He wants to hold up your picture, and He wants you to hear, "Isn't she beautiful?" Now, I want you to keep that in mind, because many people are going to be joined to you this year who have been disconnected. Many people who have been shipwrecked in their faith, some who have never had it, some who lost it, some who have hurt you and wounded you. But God says this is a year of new beginnings. Would you remember my friend who held up a picture of his wife? And would you please hold up the picture of the body of Christ as she comes together? And would you simply say these words to her? Don't try to figure out what happened to her. Don't make judgments of why she went missing. Would you just please say, "Isn't she beautiful?" Because God is releasing a grace for new things to be seen in 2014. So, Father, we thank You. We give You glory. We give You honor. We thank You for our children, our children's children, our loved ones, the members of this house. We call that this church is going to become such a light and life into this city that this city is going to be changed because Your bride is beautiful. In Jesus' name, amen.